hope y'all will indulge me the privilege of not wearing a coat. The Texas heat along with my nerves are doing a double number, and I'm a little bit more than I could bear at the moment. Although I am very nervous, as everyone who has ever heard me speak knows, I do count it a blessing and a privilege to be able to stand up here and to preach God's word and present what he's laid upon my heart to you. It's a very daunting task. I took great comfort in the message on Sunday to hear about the preacher who preached with his eyes closed, because although my eyes are open, they don't often make eye contact with the crowd. I do my best to look away. And I pray that one day the Lord will give me the ability to maintain that eye contact. I pray that he will always keep me humble and mindful of the great privilege it is to be here. I did receive a call this past Monday from the church there in Sanger. Obviously, the Lord is working there, because clearly nothing I am doing is worthy of the opportunity to stand up and preach. But the Lord is working, and the Lord is good, and I'm thankful for it. And for Brother Wildman, yes, you can be confident that you will get out early. That was a comment he asked me about before the service, and yes, you will. And also, I'd like to thank the Ivies for being back. I know I don't know how many other people were aware of the fact that I was going to be preaching tonight, but I know they were, and they came anyway, and I'm grateful for it. If you would, turn with me into your Bibles, the Old Testament, to Isaiah chapter 12. Isaiah chapter 12, and when you're there, if you would, let me know with a hearty amen. Amen. Isaiah, one of the most famous prophets, one of the most often quoted prophets. He was a man who in his lifetime was able to be a witness to great events and changes throughout the world. His ministry spanned 60 years, from 740 B.C. to 680 B.C. During his lifetime, he ministered and spoke the word of God under four different kings in the kingdom of Judah. He witnessed the destruction of the northern kingdom of Israel, and he witnessed the carrying away of the 10 northern tribes. He saw great events. During his ministry, he was greatly used of God. The words that he spoke led to a revival during his lifetime, and in the years since, those same words have been spoken to change the lives of people throughout history, to lead people to the Lord, to remind people of Jesus Christ, to point them to the cross and to see their eternity changed. He's either quoted or paraphrased over 65 times in the New Testament. It's more than any other prophet. He's mentioned by name at least 20 times in the New Testament. His writings show us Christ in a greater way than any of the other prophets that the Lord used in the Old Testament. He shows us the redeeming power of Christ in a greater way than anyone else. He shows us the gift of salvation that the Lord has promised. Over 26 times he uses the word salvation in his book. So the question is, salvation from what? Well, obviously salvation from the judgment of sin, the judgment that we're all facing without Jesus Christ. Just to put his writings in context, at this point in history, at this point in time, the Israelites have gone from slavery in Egypt, they've gone from bondage into the promised land, they've been redeemed by God and brought into the place where he's appointed to them. They've grown economically, they've grown militarily, they've grown politically. They've become a force and a nation equal with many of their contemporaries. But unfortunately, as they've become strong and powerful in the world, they've declined spiritually. They've strayed away from God and gone away from him. And in fact, it's gotten to a point by Isaiah's lifetime that God says, no more. I'm done. The Assyrians come and they conquer Israel, and it won't be long before Babylon comes and conquers Judah. At this time in history, God has grown angry over the sins of the nation of Israel. He's angry over their idolatry. He's angry over their rejection of him, the sin of pride. He's angry over the rejection of him in favor of other gods, in favor of money, in favor of self, the rejection of him in favor of their own will and their own desires. And God's anger is justified. His judgment is righteous. We are all facing that same judgment here today in America. We all see the writing on the wall. We all know what's coming to this land. Isaiah tells the people it's coming, but he also tells them that there will be salvation as well. He also tells them of God's redeeming love. He tells them of the deliverance from their sin, the deliverance from idolatry, from wickedness. He tells them of salvation and of the coming Messiah. In chapter 9, we see the promise of the birth of the Messiah and his humanity. In chapter 53, we see his coming death and his humility as our substitute for us. In Isaiah chapter 11, we see his descent from the line of David and his coming as a king. We see his judgment as he comes as a king upon the, his judgment upon the nations of the world. We see how as a king, he'll rally his people to them and draw them back together. Isaiah shows us that while we face judgment for our actions, there is a Savior. There is a Savior who will come. And that brings us to Isaiah chapter 12. Isaiah chapter 12 says, "And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation, I will trust, and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Therefore with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall ye say, Praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee." Let's pray. Father God, I thank you so much for loving us enough to let us know when we're wrong, to let us know when we failed you. God, I thank you for being a righteous judge. I thank you for having a standard, Lord, to holding to an unwavering truth of right and wrong. God, I know that I have failed you, and everyone here has. Lord, we're human, and we're deserving of your punishment. But Lord, I thank you for sending that Savior, sending that your Son, Jesus Christ, to pay that price for me. God, I pray that as we look here at this passage from Isaiah, that you would remind us of our salvation, remind us of the joy that we should take from it. God, I pray that you would use me now to speak your word, Lord, to be a blessing, to renew your people in their faith and their strength and the joy of their salvation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Joy in our salvation. The Jews in Isaiah's time could read these words and look forward to the promise of a coming Savior. They could look forward to the promise of the coming of the Lord, to the day that his kingdom would be established for all eternity. And we have that same blessed hope now. We have that same promise of his eternal kingdom when he will return as that conquering king. And we should take joy in that. We should take great comfort in the fact of knowing that he is on the throne and he's coming back for his children. But at the same time, we can take joy in the fact that that promise has been fulfilled now. If you're a born-again child of God, you've been saved. You're just waiting on him to take you home. Spiritually, he's already won the victory. Spiritually, he's already conquered death. He's already taken away that judgment from us. And we're just waiting on the day for him to return. The kingdom of heaven is not something that we have to look forward to. It's something that's already here. Matthew 4:17 says, "From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." If you have Jesus Christ in your life, you are his child, you are a part of that kingdom, you have been saved, and you ought to take joy in it. Verse 1 there of Isaiah chapter 12 says, "In that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee." That day that you saw yourself for what you were, the day that you saw yourself as that sinner, that person deserving of hell and God's judgment, and saw that he had sent his Son to die for you, realized that he had paid that price, that day that you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, whether you verbalized it or said it in your heart, you praised God. You said, "O Lord, I will praise thee. O Lord, the one who created everything, the one who created you and I from absolutely nothing, the one who gave us life through his very breath, that is the one who we praise. That is the one who we ought to give honor to." It says, "I will praise thee." And the Hebrew word there for praise, another way it can be translated is confess. So the verse there could also read, "I will confess thee." In Romans 10:9, Paul tells us, "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." And the day that you confessed Jesus Christ as your Savior and confessed your need for Him, you were saved. You were redeemed. You no longer are under that judgment of God. You're no longer will have to stand before Him in His judgment. You'll no longer are accountable and guilty of that sin because He sees the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. And that's something we ought to take joy in. Verse 1 again says, though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away and thou comfortest me. God has every right to look upon each and every one of us with anger. He has every right to look on our lives, our thoughts, our actions, and be filled with anger, a righteous anger. Because every single one of us has turned away from Him. Every single one of us has come short of His righteousness. Every single one of us is just as guilty as Lucifer in proclaiming, I will instead of thy will. Every single one of us is deserving of God's judgment, His wrath, of His anger. Praise God, if you've accepted His Son, Jesus Christ, His anger is turned away. And that's something that ought to bring joy. In John 3:36, John the Baptist speaks and tells us, He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. The first part of that verse says, He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. If you have Jesus Christ and as your Savior, you have everlasting life, and without Him you are under the wrath of God. Paul says, For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm so glad for my salvation. I'm so glad that Jesus Christ took His anger, the Lord's anger, upon Himself. Anger that I truly, richly deserve. Thankfully, He not only took away the anger of God, and that's mercy, but He also gave us peace. He gave us fellowship. He gave us a relationship with God, and that's grace. He gave us more than just having God appeased. He gave us a relationship with Him. He brought us into fellowship. Verse 2, Behold, God is my salvation. 700 years before Jesus Christ walked this earth, Isaiah penned these words through the Holy Spirit. The very name Jesus means Jehovah is salvation. God is our salvation. Jesus Christ is our salvation. Not only is He salvation, He is my salvation. He's the only Savior you and I have. He's the only Savior you and I will ever need. Not only is He my salvation from His throne in heaven, but it says there in verse 2, He also has become my salvation. Not only did the self-existent God, the one who, as I said, created everything, the one who has always been, not only did He find you, find me, valuable enough to love us, and valuable enough to create us, but He found us valuable enough to humble Himself and take on our form, to take on our flesh and our weakness, to come down from His throne, to stoop down to our level in order to lift us up. He became our salvation through Jesus Christ, and we ought to take joy in that. Verse 3, Therefore with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. With joy we should allow God and God's Word to wash us clean. With joy we should partake of the water of life that is Jesus Christ. The gift of salvation is a joyous thing. It's something that we should take pleasure in. It's something that should cause us to act. He doesn't say here in verse 3 that the water will be poured out upon you. It says, ye shall draw, with joy shall ye draw water out of the well. We are to draw that water. That's action. Action on our part. First, we must act and accept the gift for ourselves, but then we are to share it with others. If we understand and admit that none of us is worthy, none of us is deserving of that gift, then who are we to ever withhold that gift from another? We ought to take joy in washing our brothers and sisters clean. We ought to take joy in presenting the Word and the well of salvation to them that they may drink as well. We ought to share it with our fellow man joyfully. Verse 4, In that day shall ye say, Praise the Lord. Call upon His name, declare His doings among the people, make mention that His name is exalted. This is something that the Lord really got a hold of me about, that we ought to shout. We ought to praise God. There should be no question whether or not we are saved. Everyone that we meet should know. We are to declare His doings and make mention. That isn't for the hour that you're sitting in church. That's every moment of your life. We ought to tell people. We ought to be so excited, so overjoyed about our salvation, about what God has done for us, what God has taken away from us, and what He can do for others, that we just simply can't restrain ourselves. We should be so enthusiastic about the Lord and about the gospel and the joy of our salvation that we find every opportunity to share the gospel. If we had the cure for cancer, none of us would hesitate to give that to our loved ones. But we have the cure for something more. We have the cure for death, for misery, the cure for eternal damnation, and yet we keep it to ourselves. Verse 5, sing unto the Lord, for He hath done excellent things. We ought to sing, not stand up and mumble the words as the musicians play, not mouth them, hoping that no one notices. We ought to sing, shout, praise God, say amen. He has done excellent things. And this is known in all the earth. He created everything. You can look at anything in this world and see God in it. See the beauty that God has created all around us. See the perfection that He created. By His creation, the world knows that He is. They just don't know why. And that's our part. We ought to be excited. We ought to be joyous over our salvation and sing unto the Lord. Verse 6, cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. Get excited. Share the truth. Share the glorious truth of your salvation. Tell how you have a home in Zion. Tell how your soul now resides in the New Jerusalem. You're just waiting on your body. Tell how this home here is just a temporary thing. We're not dependent upon a home built by man. We have one built by God. We have one prepared by His very Son. Tell of the greatness of Jesus Christ. Proclaim the truth that He resides in each and every one of us as we reside in heaven. Tell how He dwells in us and gives us comfort in our times of difficulty. Tell how we're never alone when we face a trial. We're never alone when we face hardship. We ought to take joy in that. We ought to tell people how God has taken His wrath upon Himself and delivered us from His judgment. We ought to take joy in our salvation. Something that we often take for granted. Something that we often neglect. Without salvation, we have nothing. Without salvation, we're no different than anyone else outside this building here on Wednesday night. Without the Lord Jesus Christ, we are facing moments of fleeting happiness, but an eternity of hell and sorrow. We need God. We need His salvation. We need His Son, Jesus Christ. And when we have it, we ought to take joy in it. We ought to be so excited and so overjoyed over our salvation that we can't help but shout, to proclaim His name. Let the world know what He has done in our lives. If you're here and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you have no idea what I'm talking about, then come forward. Everyone here would be overjoyed with the opportunity to tell, the opportunity to share. If you don't know a life other than those moments of happiness between the hours of sorrow, come to God. Partake of those wells of salvation. As we stand, Brother Tim, come. As we stand, let me tell you that without Christ, you're facing a righteous judgment from a holy God. You're facing a judgment that only has one possible verdict. You're facing a judgment that has only one possible sentence, and that is an eternity in hell. If you don't have Christ as your Savior, won't you come and draw of those waters? Christians, and I believe that predominantly we are Christians, we all profess to be saved. We all profess to have that salvation. But maybe you're here and you've lost that shout. Maybe you're here and it's become routine, and you've forgotten that joy that you had on that day that you praised the Lord and rejoiced over the fact that His anger was turned aside. If you're here and you're a Christian and that's how your life has become, come back to God and He will renew you. He will rekindle that joy. He'll renew that song. He'll revive that song in your heart. But you have to come to Him. You have to come back to Him and ask Him to do that. After we pray and as the music plays, won't you come? Father God, I thank You for my salvation. I thank You for the opportunity to shout it, to share it with others. Lord God, I pray that I would never take it for granted. Never think that it's something that I've earned, that I've achieved, something that I'm worthy of. Lord, it only comes through your Son, Jesus Christ, and your grace. God, I pray that if there are those here who don't know that joy, that don't have that salvation, that don't have that home in Zion to look forward to, God, that they would come to you now, that they would get right, that they would see from your word the truth, the joy that they can have in a home in heaven, escape the penalty of sin. God, I pray that for those of us who may have lost our song and our joy, God, that you would rekindle that. We would come to you now, be revived, be renewed with a fire and a vigor, an overwhelming joy of our salvation through your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray.